At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, fantasy recaps of week 5 in the NFL and arguably the craziest week we've seen in a long time. All of these games coming down to the end. All of these games coming down to field goals, missed, hit, one way or the other. Insane late games too, Davis. It was, I couldn't get up yesterday. I mean, it was one of those days where it's hard for me to commit the entire 7-8 hours to this, but my gosh, my couch is in pain this morning because couldn't get up. Every game was great yesterday. It was crazy.
Every game was great, and it also came on top of a Saturday of college football where we had back-to-back great games, the Red River rivalry, the Oklahoma Sooners, Texas Longhorns. That was pretty much the game of the year until Texas A&M and Alabama about 45 minutes later then became the other game of the year. Both of those were phenomenal. And you know what? To be honest, even that Jets-Falcons game over across the pond was a pretty good game. And, you know, to be honest, I gotta put my cards on the table, Craig. I went to bed at halftime of Chiefs-Bills. I knew the direction that game. Shocker. I knew the direction that game was going. I was not going to stay up to watch that Chiefs offense anymore. I was like, you know what? If I felt good, if I was like, you know what? The Chiefs are going to come back. They're going to do it. I'll stay up. But I knew the direction that game was going, so I went to bed.
Yeah, I didn't see much of that game either because I committed so much to the early games. And usually I bail out sometimes on the late ones and come back and forth. But my gosh, I couldn't take my eyes off that Chargers-Browns game. It was just back and forth and watching so much yesterday. I mean, Buffalo was, I got a couple of things right yesterday. In fantasy, I'm doing great. But the picking, oh my gosh. Like, I think Buffalo may have been the only thing I got right all weekend long. It was really, really tough. You know what I said, Davis? I said this the other day. I think last night, and I know you didn't see the end or whatever, but I think last night maybe, I want you to think about this, the last time the Buffalo Bills are underdogs for a year. I think last night was your last chance to get plus on Buffalo. What do you think about that?
Well, so theoretically, if they make the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think they would be an underdog. I also think they'll probably be an underdog against the Chargers in the AFC Conference Championship game. That one will be close. That'll be close. It'll depend on who gets home field advantage. And I guess it's probably more likely that the Bills get home field advantage because they play in a weaker division. Right. You know, they don't have any competition there. But the Chargers are great. I mean, the Chargers are just a really good team. So I think that – but those would be the only two spots I could think of.
Yeah, Chargers, the coaching is really changed things for them for sure. Okay, let's take a look at our headlines here on this Monday. Fantasy madness for sure. 89 points in the Chargers-Browns game. That game was just insane. We'll get to it. Davante Adams with a monster game, and the Packers survived a missed field goal fest. That's exactly what that was between the Bengals. 25-22, that game just would not end. Unfortunately, the Giants, the news just gets worse for them. They lose Saquon Barkley. They lose Daniel Jones, and their loss to the Cowboys. They also lost Kenny Golladay as well. In baseball, really exciting game last night between the Red Sox and Rays. It went 13 innings. That's where my focus was. 6-4, they take a 2-1 lead in the best-of-5 series. Also, the White Sox defeat the Astros 12-6, so they stay alive in the American League Division Series. Also, some quick notes here, Davis. It looks like Ben Simmons could be returning to the Philadelphia 76ers. I did not think I'd be opening up with that here on the show today.
That's what they say. I still think that it's going to be hard for them to reconcile that relationship, because there are multiple relationships that have to be reconciled. They have to, you know, of course, get Simmons and the front office and the coaching staff talking to each other. And then also Simmons kind of has to like reconcile with his teammates, right? Like he's got to come in and he's got to be like, well, you know, I know we kind of ended things on a bad foot, but like, do you guys want to be friends again or whatever? Like, I think that's a difficult conversation for these guys to have. But it seems like there just is not a trade market for Ben Simmons, at least not a trade market that Daryl Morey and the Sixers front office want to explore. I mean, you know, I'm sure that they got late first round picks and Ish Smith, you know, contract matching back or whatever. But it doesn't seem like teams are looking to give up, you know, unprotected first round picks and good young assets for Ben Simmons, which is, it's very weird to me, because I've always thought Ben Simmons is a pretty good player.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's still a couple of weeks before the NBA begins, so we'll keep an eye on that. Also, the Cardinals could be without Max Williams potentially for the season. Unfortunately, Max Williams has just had so many injuries over the course of his career since he was a first round pick out of Minnesota. And in addition to that, Davis, I mean, we're all going to be watching closely with your Chiefs, because Edwards-Helaire and Tyreek Hill, and I don't think Kelsey was serious, but any additions to the Chiefs offense still going to be massive, right? Like, I mean, it's still going to be huge pickups in terms of fantasy. The Chiefs defense obviously isn't stopping anybody, but their offense still going to be viable.
Offense still going to be viable. I mean, I'm very depressed and pessimistic about my Kansas City Chiefs this morning. I mean, Josh Gordon did come out there and nab a reception. I believe he only played 9 snaps on offense. He looked huge, by the way. Josh Gordon looked massive. I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of the highlights.
I saw him last time in Seattle.
Yeah,
he's like a tight end now.
Yeah, yeah. He looked absolutely huge. I mean, I think the real...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Story probably is 9 for 76 from Mecole Hardman. He looked like a real wide receiver.
Yeah, maybe he will be the one to step up for Kansas City. Also, bye weeks coming this week. Several teams off, including the 49ers and the New Orleans Saints. We're going to get to that as well. Fantasy standouts coming up next. Packers, Bengals. What a crazy game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A missed field goal fest. That's what basically happened in Cincinnati on Sunday, as the Packers and Bengals couldn't get out of their own way. Mason Crosby missed several field goals, and so did the Bengals kicker too. Very wild game that was really hard to turn off, but then you just wanted it to end. Let's go through the fantasy standouts from Green Bay, Cincinnati yesterday. Aaron Rodgers threw for 344 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Aaron Jones, 14 rushes, 103 yards, 1 really long run in overtime that put him over the top. A.J. Dillon also scored a touchdown this game. He had 8 rushes for 30 yards. But, of course, the big story yesterday from the game was Davante Adams with a monster performance, over 200 receiving yards, 11 receptions, also scored a touchdown. And probably one of the wackier games that we saw in the NFL this season. Aaron Rodgers did remember a previous game that went down with the Cincinnati Bengals and was asked more or less if that game was crazier.
It's definitely not the craziest Cincinnati game. 2005 for sure beats this one, partly because of the final score and also the guy running out of the stands and taking the ball from Favre and having a nice zigzag. I'm sure if he's still around and out of jail, he enjoyed the ego boost this week.
Listen, at this point, Davis, I mean, anybody winning that game would have been better than what we saw there. I mean, Mason Crosby, who probably won't get in the Hall of Fame as a kicker, has been as reliable as you could find as a kicker for 20 years. But my gosh, he just could not kick a field goal in this one. And he missed an extra point. And then Cincinnati's kicker thought he made it. And we'll get to Cincinnati here in a minute. But Davante Adams, Davis, like, I mean, we keep trying to make a second receiver out of Green Bay. I think we should just forget it, man. Like, it's just not happening. It's going to be Davante Adams, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, so right now, Davante Adams has a 38% target share of the Green Bay Packers offense. I mean, that is clearly highest in the NFL. No one on the team, he has 61 targets. No one else on the team has more than 19. That's Aaron Jones. Robert Tonyan has 17 targets and only 9 receptions. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who is on the short-term IR, has 16 targets and 6 receptions. I mean, it is just a mess. Randall Cobb, I guess, has 11 receptions and 2 touchdowns. But yeah, the only fantasy viable guys on this offense, I actually have Tonyan in a couple leagues. I'm dropping him for sure after this week. I mean, it's just the playing time and the targets are not there. The one thing I will say is A.J. Dillon, with 4 receptions yesterday, that was the most receptions he's ever had in a game. His pro career and his college career combined never had 4 receptions in a game before. Now, he only ran 10 routes, but he's getting pretty close to that Jamal Williams role that Aaron Jones used to split. And I do think that A.J. Dillon's kind of entered into that Pollard territory where you're not rushing to start him, but if you start him in, you know, bye weeks or whatever as a flex play, I think he's probably fine.
All right, let's go to the Bengals here. Joe Burrow had a decent game, did throw a couple of really crucial interceptions, though, in this one. 281 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Joe Mixon clearly was banged up. He still got 10 carries and also ended up scoring a touchdown. Samaje Perine looked pretty good, I thought. 11 rushes, 59 yards, 4 receptions, 24 yards, and a touchdown. And another game and another touchdown, Davis, for Ja'Marr Chase. 6 receptions, 159 yards. He is his career is off to a smashing start. T. Higgins, you do not see here. Higgins, I don't know, it didn't seem right yesterday. Dropped a couple of passes and wasn't as involved in the offense. But, I mean, listen, until some other team watches film and realizes that Burrow's going to throw bombs to Chase, no one's going to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Ja'Marr Chase's points have come on broken plays and have come on high variance plays. But, of course, someone who is as talented as Ja'Marr Chase, we actually, funnily enough, we see this with Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs, and we see this with the team that the Bengals played against. We see this with Adams, where a lot of Adams' production comes out of structure and on these big broken plays, and that happens for Tyreek Hill, quite often as well. So I think the kind of the ceiling is the limit for Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, you could tell me 3 years from now, he's universally regarded as the best wide receiver in football. I believe that. But definitely for me, this is a huge buy low opportunity for T. Higgins, who, you know, came back, ran his normal amount of routes. I believe he played 84% of the snaps. Maybe he needs another week for that shoulder injury to be 100% good to go. But I would definitely be sending some small trade offers for T. Higgins right now, because I still believe in him as much as I did coming into the year.
Yep. All right. And bye week's coming too. All right. Speaking of which, Falcons took on the Jets in London and got off to a great start. Matt Ryan threw for 342 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Mike Davis got in the end zone, 13 carries, 43 yards. But Cordarrelle Patterson still very, very heavily involved in the offense. 14 rushes, 60 yards, and 7 receptions for 60 yards. I mean, it's pretty clear who he is the rest of the season. And then we got the breakout performance from Kyle Pitts, who was targeted a ton, 9 receptions, 119 yards. Essentially, those were the only things that Atlanta needed to do, being up 14 points and then 10 points at different points of the game. Let's run through the Jets real quick, and then we'll go through both teams here. Zach Wilson turned back into a pumpkin, 19 of 32, 192 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. Michael Carter got in the end zone. Ted rushes 38 yards, so did Ty Johnson. And then Corey Davis, 4 receptions, 45 yards. And so, for the Jets, really specifically, Davis, I think this is pretty simple. They played the Titans the week before, and now I'm convinced that that's the only reason why they scored a lot of points. I think now we're going to see them just go back to who they were. And for Atlanta, I mean, I assume that they're going to get better as the season goes along. But you know, Pitts for sure was the biggest takeaway, at least for me, with his performance.
Yeah, I mean, the utilization had been there for Pitts anyway. He had run the fourth most routes at tight end heading into this game, and he had the third highest target share of the tight end position heading into this game. The results just hadn't quite been there yet. He just, you know, hadn't quite gotten the touchdowns, hadn't quite gotten the receptions, which is going to just happen, right? I mean, CeeDee Lamb, great example, huge game week one. Three straight bad games, good game last week, right? Like we just have to understand that there's a lot of in-season variance for these guys. Kyle Pitts, a great example of that. Cordarrelle Patterson, the most carries he's ever gotten in a game here, 14. His most targets of the season with 9. Mike Davis continues churning along, but I guess a word of caution for Mike Davis, if you've been starting him. Without touchdowns the last 2 weeks, he would have scored 8.6 and 3.1 PPR points. So don't necessarily know if the gravy train is going to continue for Mike Davis. And you are, of course, correct with the Jets. I mean, it was just the Titans. The Titans have basically the worst defense in the NFL at this point. And Zach Wilson looked really brutal. I'm so surprised they were even able to end up scoring points in the end, because in the first half it looked like Zach Wilson was Kendall Hinton, basically.
Yeah, Hinton had a good catch yesterday, by the way.
He did.
What about Carter moving forward? 10 rushes for him. I mean, is there a chance he gets 15, 16 as we keep going on here? Because again, you know, running backs are just so hard to come by at this point.
Yeah, running backs are extremely hard to come by, and Michael Carter finally had, you know, like a good role in this Jets offense yesterday. 52% of the snaps, 10 carries, 3 targets. Again, I mean, would I rather start Tony Pollard or Michael Carter on a weekly basis? Probably Tony Pollard, but, you know, would I rather start Tony or Michael Carter or, like, you know, DeMarcus Robinson? I'd probably rather start Michael Carter.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a role emerges for him as we go along here. Certainly, I don't think there is one for Tevin Coleman, you know, at this point. Ty Johnson, as I mentioned, also with a touchdown as well. All right, so we're off and running here on the show. We got plenty more to come. When we return, we'll go through the fantasy standouts on the Vikings and Lions, another game that went right down to the wire. And we'll touch on that next, coming up right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. We run through every single game that happened on Sunday here on the show on our Monday edition of FST. So stay on the grid. Craig and Davis back in just 2 minutes as we dive into some more Capsule. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Division game between the Vikings and Lions. Vikings 10-point favorites in this game. It looked like they were just going to roll over the Detroit Lions. It seemed to be trending that way until a key turnover. And then what do the Lions do? They fight right to the end, just keep throwing, keep running. Sort of the way that it played out yesterday. The fantasy ramifications, sort of meager yesterday outside of course, Alexander Mattison. Kirk Cousins yesterday, 25 of 34, 275 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Boy, if you watched our show last week, you saw the way Dalvin Cook talked. That did not surprise me at all. Did not see him play. 113 rushes, 7 receptions, 40 yard and a touchdown, but a big fumble in this game too. Justin Jefferson, 7 receptions, 124 yards, and Adam Thielen, nothing until the fourth quarter. How about that? 2 receptions, just 40 yards for Thielen, his worst game of the season. Let's move on quickly to the Detroit Lions, who again, a couple of decent performances from Jared Goff, who basically no one is playing in fantasy. 21 of 35, 203 passing yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. DeAndre Swift continues to produce, 51 rushing yards, also a touchdown on the ground, 6 receptions, 53 yards. Can't complain with a 20-point day, that's for sure. Jamal Williams, 57 rushing yards. And Amon-Ra St. Brown was the leading receiver for the Lions. 7 catches, 65 yards. And so Davis, you know, Minnesota just kind of keeps, you know, chugging along here, like staying relevant, staying into it. They've won scoring a lot of points. Now they've won scoring not a lot of points, but you know, clearly Madison, I think, showed outside of the end of the game, you know, why he could be a running back one. And I would suppose, Davis, at the end of the season, some team in the NFL is going to, you know, trade for him, you know, give up a third, fourth round pick, something like that. And he's going to get his shot somewhere else because he clearly can start in the NFL.
Yeah, well, Alexander Mattison, I believe his contract is up at the end of next season. So probably he will be on the Vikings roster for another year and he will follow, you know, him and Tony Pollard are the same draft class and those guys will end up, you know, fighting for the big running back contract in free agency, you know, about 18 months from now. Weird game here in that the Detroit Lions were actually winning this game with 35 seconds left. They choose to go for two. They don't get it, or they do get it, actually. So they go up. But, you know, then they incentivize the Vikings to be very aggressive. Kirk Cousins throws the strike to Justin Jefferson. But how weird is it for a Vikings field goal kicker to come through in the clutch? You know, we're all expecting whoever the Vikings field goal kicker is to send one wide right with time, you know, dwindling off the clock. I guess my big fantasy takeaways are we are seeing the target distribution between Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen normalize. You know, Thielen started off the year very hot, scoring touchdowns, but Justin Jefferson is the best fantasy wide receiver on the Vikings. And DeAndre Swift leads all NFL running backs in high-value touches per game. That is a combination of targets and then touches inside the 10-yard line. So, you know, DeAndre Swift, more high-value touches than Derrick Henry per game, more high-value touches than Alexander Mattison and guys like that per game. So I think even on this terrible, terrible Lions team, you know, that they're we kind of have this anchor effect where we all remember the Lions and that comeback effort against the 49ers in week one. They've been completely lifeless and useless since that game, basically. Like, the whole team has been bad since that 49ers comeback. And Swift looks good, but Hockenson doesn't have more than two catches since week two. So, just not a good fantasy team, the Detroit Lions.
No, not fantasy. Reality, they keep covering the spread and keeping games close. But no, for fantasy, definitely not worth the effort. Okay, now Steelers-Broncos yesterday, and now unsurprisingly, you're seeing Denver's game planning and the play calling going right back to what it was last year. And so Denver's about to just fall apart, most likely. Pittsburgh, I don't know. Like, it just seems like Ben Roethlisberger has basically understood who he is. He threw only 25 times yesterday, 253 yards. Really good game plan for the Steelers. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. Najee Harris again with a big game, 122 rushing yards, only two receptions, but scored a touchdown. What is that? 20 fantasy points. Can't complain. Chase Claypool back involved in the offense, five receptions, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Deontay Johnson had two receptions, 72 yards and a touchdown. And those two guys are the guys, because it looks like Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be either out for the season or out for a long period of time. So Claypool and Deontay Johnson, if you own them, you're in luck, unless they bench Ben Roethlisberger, clearly. Roethlisberger, after the game, was asked about specifically the volume that Najee Harris is getting and making the most of it on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he did great tonight. But, you know, the running game is more than just one person. You know, it's the line has to open things up, and they did that. I don't know. I wish I could give you a better percentage, so I don't want to say a wrong number, but there's a very high percentage of those runs today from the shotgun especially were RPOs, and we probably had some of the throws, but why take it out of his hand when you're grinding it and you're getting it? And it was fun to watch him kind of, you know, excel and take over. And I thought Benny came in at the end of the game, ran the ball really hard, KB too. So I'm happy for Nash, really am.
Interesting comments there, Davis, from Roethlisberger with the RPOs, again, choosing to hand the ball off. I think this is the direction that the Steelers are going. And you know what it reminds me of? When Big Ben first came in the league, it was Willie Parker. It was Jerome Bettis. Now, again, the Steelers don't have Troy Polamalu and James Harrison and that great defense that they had. But the Steelers may dial it back, tell Roethlisberger, hey, 25 times, that's plenty. Hand the ball off to Najee, Benny Snell, and these other guys. Made the most of that game yesterday. I mean, if you get that from the Steelers the rest of the season outside of Roethlisberger, you're very happy.
Yeah, I am definitely less optimistic on the Pittsburgh Steelers than you are. I mean, I just they're 2-3. Their wins, you know, came against the Buffalo Bills and what looks like I mean, how anomalous does that game against the Buffalo Bills look? Now their defense is very good. I guess I would point out, you know, that game was a bobbled Cortland Sutton play against the pylon from the Broncos having a chance to tie it as time expired. And, you know, I do think the Steelers' defense is very good. I do think Najee Harris looks like, you know, just a total stud at the running back position. 23 rushing attempts, 5 targets yesterday. You know, the bad offensive line, Big Ben looking like a statue, just does not look like any of that is going to matter for Najee Harris. And you're right, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, they definitely get a boost here with Juju Smith-Schuster out for the rest of the season. I wonder if James Washington, who was not even targeted yesterday, weirdly enough, I wonder if he works himself into a real role or if they start just playing a bunch of two tight end stuff with Eric Ebron and Pat Freiermuth. But yeah, feel bullish on Claypool, feel bullish on Deontay. I weirdly enough, I like those guys, but I just would not start Big Ben. Like, there just is no way I would start Ben in fantasy right now.
No, but he was not startable in the first 2 years of his career either. And it feels like this is the direction they're going back to when he first came in the league, handing the ball off and then every once in a while throwing it to Hines Ward. They kind of had that going. Broncos, wow, they just, I mean, I understand that they had a chance to win in the end, Davis, but they got smashed, man. They were down 2 touchdowns in this game going into the fourth. And then, of course, they come back when the teams play poor defense. And Bridgewater, 288, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Javonte Williams did outgain Melvin Gordon, so maybe this is the beginning of that. We'll see. 61 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 25 yards. Sutton did look good overall. 7 receptions, 120, and a touchdown. Kendall Hinton also scored. Remember Kendall Hinton, the quarterback from last year. And Tim Patrick, 7 for 89. I mean, I'm just not bullish on Denver, Davis. I think that their 3-0 start was all paper. And they'll win home games because they play well at home. But for fantasy purposes, you have to pray at this point that Teddy Bridgewater in the next five games was as good as he was in the first 5 games.
I mean, honestly, I think these teams are very similar. You know, I think the Steelers and the Broncos are very similar. The Broncos, I don't think, have great coaching, but the Broncos also are just getting crushed by injuries. I mean, they are just getting... They had maybe one of the best wide receiver groups in the NFL 3 weeks ago, and now they're down to Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick, right? No Judy, no Hamler, Albert Okwuegbunam on the short-term IR. I did think that Javonte Williams looked really, really good yesterday relative to how Melvin Gordon played. You know, Javonte did well as a receiver, 61 rushing yards to Melvin Gordon's 34, but just in general, it was a bad offensive day for the Denver Broncos, and really, really disappointing for Noah Fant, who with all these guys out has like 6 PPR points. No good.
All right, Bucks Dolphins, not much on Miami side, but Tampa looked great again yesterday. Tom Brady, 411 through the air, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Leonard Fournette scored. He also rushed for 67 yards, 4 receptions, 43 yards. Antonio Brown, his best game as a Buck, 7 receptions, 124, 2 touchdowns. Evans, 6 for 113 and a score. And Godwin ended up getting 14 fantasy points. I mean, nothing to complain about with Tampa Bay. In terms of Miami, my gosh, like without Tua, this is just a shell of a team. And I don't even know with Tua if it'll be any good. Jacoby Brissett got hurt, came back in, 275, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Gaskin can't run, so they just dumped the ball off a ton to him. You don't see Jalen Waddle here, Davis. Fumbled the ball, dropped the ball. Just a rough game for Miami. And Tampa just keeps steamrolling people, Davis. It like doesn't matter who they play. I guess it does matter. In bad weather against New England, they only score 3 touchdowns, right? But against everybody else, they pound people.
Yeah, I mean, Brady is just going to break a bunch of records, right? That he's like at the beginning of the season, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. It looks like he's going to get there. You start all your Bucks fantasy players other than Ronald Jones. And I think the only Dolphins you start are Gaskin and Waddle right now.
Yeah, I don't even know about Waddle. Hopefully this week with Tua returning to the field for Miami. Softer schedule also for the Dolphins coming up too. Can't be any worse. All right, Titans-Jaguars. We'll touch on that coming up next here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're not already, make sure you follow us on Twitter. Two great places to do that, which is at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information, breaking news, and, of course, sports wagering and fantasy sports as well. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. By the way, White Sox-Astros game postponed today. Instead of four baseball games, we will have three. So we'll follow that series again tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern. All right, Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's break this game down. And basically, the same thing happens with the Jaguars every game. Game looks close for about two quarters, and then the other team pulls away. In this one, it was what it's always been for Tennessee. And it was the Derrick Henry show once again. Ryan Tannehill, 197 yards and one touchdown. Henry with 130 rushing yards and three touchdowns on his way to the first pick overall next year. No doubt about that. Marcus Johnson, three receptions, 52 yards. Mykole Pruitt, never heard of before. He scored a touchdown, one reception, 14 yards. On the side of the Jaguars, their lone standout was also the running back in this one, although Trevor Lawrence did rush for a touchdown as well, 23 of 33, 273, 28 rushing yards, two scores. James Robinson, basically all the volume at running back, good for him, 149 on the ground and also a touchdown. Laviska Shenault had one catch. He made the most of it. It was 58 yards. And then, of course, if Urban Meyer is going to trade for Dan Arnold, got to get him his targets. Six receptions, 64 yards for Dan Arnold at tight end yesterday. After the game, Derrick Henry, after another 100-yard performance, was asked about his counterpart, James Robinson, on Jacksonville.
He's the truth. Patient runner, sees it get downhill fast, break tackles. He's just a really good back, and I just told him to stay with it, man. Just keep being great, and you see that on the field, man. He's a problem.
Derrick saw that.
Two running backs in this game, Dave, is coming through yesterday. I mean, Derrick Henry is like my favorite part about my fantasy football season. Not somebody I wanted, somebody I ended up with. Better to be lucky than good, I guess. And then for everything that Jacksonville, I guess, tried to do in the offseason, I mean, they have their guy. I mean, James Robinson's a pretty good running back. Seems pretty decent, but that, two good running backs yesterday. And happy to see, by the way, Robinson, making the most of his chances too.
Yeah, I mean, good for James Robinson. Clearly not the way that the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be winning games. If you're down 20 points running James Robinson, behind the left guard, that's not going to be a recipe for winning games, which I guess Urban Meyer doesn't care about. I guess when trying to win games is not really his deal. They had a chance to get the game within one score. He calls a 4th-and-1 handoff to Carlos Hyde. Weird, considering the great game that James Robinson has been having. I hope Urban gets fired sooner rather than later, because I want Trevor Lawrence to have a good career. I would love to see Laviska Shenault and Marvin Jones, continue some production. Laviska Shenault saw two targets yesterday. Marvin Jones saw four. Jamal Agnew, Dan Arnold, and Tavon Austin all had more targets and more receptions. I mean, we're talking about cast-offs, basically. At this point, this Jaguar stuff is terrible. And feel weird with the Titans that A.J. Brown comes back after his injury. And I would have thought that against the Jaguars, they would have made it a point to give him the ball a little bit more. They didn't, for whatever reason, but his playing time was fine, so I think it'll probably get there in the end for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, it is just the Henry show every week, and I'm enjoying that this season for sure. All right, Saints and Washington football team, another competitive game. Jameis Winston yesterday, I mean, he didn't really play well, but, four touchdowns in fantasy, that'll do it. 15 of 30, 279 yards, also threw an interception, also fumbled, also threw a Hail Mary. I sat Marquez Callaway. That was a horrible choice. He had four receptions, 85 yards, and two touchdowns. And also Deontay Harris on a great pass, one reception, 72 yards and a score. Alvin Kamara scored twice, his best game of the season in 2021. Now, in terms of Washington, it's been a disastrous year for them for sure. Taylor Heinicke, 20 of 41, 248, two interceptions. Antonio Gibson, also with a great game, two times he scored yesterday. So really good news for him, 20 fantasy points with 60 yards, two receptions, 12 catches. Hey, Adam Humphries is back. Haven't said his name in a while. Three receptions, 73 yards. Terry McLaurin, quiet game for him, four receptions, 46 yards. Davis Washington just kept hanging around in this game. Somehow, and then inevitably in the end, the Saints ended up winning. But look, if the Saints play teams, Davis, that are worse than them, they're going to beat them. And if they play anybody the same or a little bit better, I don't think they stand a chance. But good news for Winston. Bad news, I think I saw Taysom Hill may have gotten hurt yesterday. I'm not sure what the status was there.
Yeah, I did see that Taysom Hill got banged up for the New Orleans Saints yesterday. And I think you're right. The Saints against teams that are poorly coached, teams that don't have good defenses, I think that I think that they're going to end up doing pretty well. Jameis, just your prototypical high variance quarterback, throws an awful interception yesterday, I think on the Saints' second possession, where his lineman stepped on his foot, and then the next drive, 72-yard touchdown on just an absolute dime to Deontay Harris, which that's going to be the only way that the New Orleans Saints are able to make the playoffs, right? Had they gone with Taysom Hill, I don't even know if they could win any of these games. I mean, I think they look really rough on offense. I guess their hope would be Michael Thomas is eligible to come off the designated for return IR whenever. They're heading into their bye week. Maybe he's able to come back. They have a pretty winnable game against the Seahawks here, right? Seahawks with Geno Smith now. Mm-hmm. So pretty winnable game there. And I don't know. I mean, I think they could sneak into the second wild card in the NFC, but it would definitely be sneaky. I don't think it would be something they necessarily earn.
Yeah, I mean, interesting for them, such with Sean Payton and maybe a new quarterback next year, like a drafted quarterback or Watson. I don't know. I'm curious to see what they end up doing in the future for sure. Well, Patriots-Texans turns out to be a really competitive game, and Houston basically was leading this one almost from beginning to end until the Patriots came back and won. Mac Jones, 23 of 30, 231 passing yards, one touchdown, one interception. Damian Harris, I think this situation is a big one to watch in New England because he fumbled again in the end zone. And I don't know, did he see the field in the second half? I didn't see him. 58 yards and did score one touchdown. Jacoby Myers, 4 for 56. Hunter Henry, very involved in the offense yesterday, 6 for 75 and a score. On the side of Houston, we saw Davis Mills' best game by far. And I wonder if Tyrod Taylor loses his job again to injury. I don't know that he'll play. I don't know. 21 of 39, 312, three touchdown. They can't run. Ingram did nothing. David Johnson did nothing. Chris Moore, he was the leading receiver, 5 for 109 and a touchdown. And then Chris Conley, 3 for 84. It was a quiet game for Cooks. So Davis, this to me, the running back situation with the Patriots is I think interesting. Now DeMondre Stevenson, I guess is his name, he carried the ball a lot but didn't make the most of it. Bolden actually looked pretty good there, but as we are doing this deep dive dumpster diving for running backs, what do you make of New England's situation going forward? I mean, Belichick giving Harris now a third shot after two fumbles, I mean, I guess he will, they have no choice, but Stevenson, if someone cut him, I'm going to just grab him and stash him this week.
Well, Damian Harris got injured in that game. So they did try to work him back in, right? So they were like, well, we don't really know if we want to give it to Ramondre yet. So they gave it to Damian Harris, and Damian Harris left the game with a chest injury. So I guess we'll need an update on that. But I agree with you. Any league where Ramondre Stevenson has been dropped, I would definitely be trying to add him, because the Patriots definitely want to be a power running team. In week 3, Mac Jones had 11 throws, 20 plus yards down the field. One of them was an interception. One of them was a completion to Jacoby Myers, and they have not gone back to it since. He has not thrown a pass 20 yards down the field since that week 3 game. So now against Houston, they find a way to come back. Rhamondre ends up playing 34% of the snaps. He gets 11 rushes and 23 yards. Didn't fumble the ball, didn't get injured, so good for him. J.J. Taylor, a game day inactive here. So I think the Rhamondre probably is the number one fantasy football pickup of the week anywhere where he was dropped. And I know he was dropped in a bunch of my leagues. Fantasy football stuff from the Texans. I don't think a single Texans player is startable in fantasy. I don't think Davis Mills is. I don't think Brandon Cooks is. I mean, maybe Brandon Cooks is in leagues where you can start up to four wide receivers, but I don't know. I mean, do I believe that this Davis Mills performance is predictive of anything in the future? I do not. I do not believe that at all.
It's interesting, though, that at the end of the season, they're going to end up playing a lot more competitive than most people anticipated. Maybe a winning record even against the spread. I mean, Houston's just such a great candidate to trade a bunch of guys at that deadline coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I definitely will be curious about that for sure. Going back to New England here for a second, I think I saw somewhere where they've had a different leading receiver every game or close to every game this season. That's not going to change, right? They're just going to keep targeting different guys.
I mean, you know, Jacoby Myers would be the guy that I would think is probably most likely to be a fantasy valuable wide receiver for them. I guess, you know, another important note as it pertains to them is Jonnu Smith is absolutely not going to happen. I mean, you can drop Jonnu Smith for Ricky Seals-Jones, who I guess we should have talked about with the Washington football team. He was tied for the team lead in targets. And if Ricky Seals-Jones is still on your waiver wire, he absolutely needs to be added as the replacement for Logan Thomas. But yeah, Jonnu is just not going to happen. He has 23 targets on the year, but only 115 receiving yards. Hunter Henry finally has a good fantasy game this last week. Jonnu only ran 6 routes this last week. And also, he played snaps at fullback. So I just don't really think that it is going to happen for Jonnu for whatever reason. But, you know, Mac looks... I think Mac looks better than I expected him to look. I think every rookie quarterback seems fine other than Zach Wilson, who seems like a big mistake at this point.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Jets don't have a lot around. I mean, they haven't. None of the rookie quarterbacks have really played fine this year. I mean, hopefully in the future they will. But, I mean, we definitely did not get I don't think that we're getting and Herbert's, you know, now, and we're going to talk about him later, at the top of the heap as far as everyone is concerned. But is anybody starting a rookie, any of these rookies in fantasy right now? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, 12 team leagues, are any of these guys, you would start any of them in one quarterback in a 12 team league? I would not.
Lance, I would for sure. Lance just got 16 fantasy points without a touchdown. And I would imagine that most weeks he will generate at least one touchdown. 16 points without a touchdown is a lot. That's like Lamar Jackson-esque in terms of the rushing ability. So I feel like Lance is going to be a very good fantasy asset.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think I could do it after watching that game yesterday. All right. So let's go through the Eagles and Carolina Panthers coming up next. This is one of the ones that actually hurt me. I thought Carolina was going to do a good job against Philadelphia. The Eagles' defense had struggled. Carolina's offense had been really good. And then things just fell apart for the Panthers big time in this game. So we're going to go through that next. We'll also get Chris's update here coming up at the top of the hour. And then Davis and I will dive back into the later games in fantasy sports. But stay with us on the grid. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Eagles and Panthers Sunday yesterday, a game that the Panthers were leading basically from start to finish until their quarterback gave this one away. Only quarterback in the league throwing 3 picks yesterday, Sam Darnold. Oh, terrible game. For the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, 22 of 37, 198 passing yards, 30 rushing yards. He ran two in at the end of the game because, you know, if the Panthers are just going to give the ball to Philadelphia, eventually they're going to score. Yes, I'm mad. Miles Sanders, 45 rushing yards, 5 receptions, 6 yards. Devonta Smith, 7 for 77. And Quez Watkins, 3 for 48. On the side of the Panthers, if this happens again, there's going to be big problems with them. Sam Darnold, 177 in the air, 1 touchdown. Yikes. 3 interceptions. You lose, getting 100 yards from Chuba Hubbard. Quiet game for DJ Moore. Also, Ian Thomas, 4 for 40. Tommy Tremble ended up scoring a touchdown. So, Davis, the Panthers just gave this game away. I don't know what else there is to say. And that gave Jalen Hurts a chance to come back and help them win the game. But I was not impressed at all, really, with either team in this one.
I mean, I guess I was sort of impressed with the Eagles' defense in the second half. But I think the big takeaway for me here is that, you know, first, Devonta Smith, real wide receiver one, you know, like a 27% target share of this Eagles offense. And Jalen Hurts is just going to get there for fantasy in every single game. 5 weeks into the season, he's been a quarterback one every game. I mean, Jalen Hurts is, he's just going to get there. You can't stop it. And also Chuba Hubbard played the Christian McCaffrey role basically in this game. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. We'll see what happens when McCaffrey comes back hypothetically this coming week for the Carolina Panthers. And yeah, listen, Jalen Hurts near the goal line, he's going to be the guy running the ball in the end zone. But simply put, he wouldn't have had any chances if Sam Darnold didn't just keep throwing interceptions. Jalen Hurts would have had no rushing touchdowns in this one and 175 yards. My gosh, what in the world happened there? Joe Brady's got to be, Sam, can't do that. That's what you did with the Jets. That'll do it for hour one. Chris is having the update coming up. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?
This.